Thank you for taking the ride on the Freedom Train Podcast series. I am your homeboy, Dolce Ward. Now, as always, ride with me is Mr. Patrick Irvin. And remember, the Freedom Train is brought to you by PAX Inc. That's PACTSINC. And PAX Inc. is a black development organization aimed at developing the black community to its maximum potential through a focus on education and economics with the traits of hard work, honesty, and integrity. And for more information about PAX Inc., you can visit www.pactsinc.org. That way you can peruse through the website, click on the home tab, click on the code tab, click on the about tab, click on the member donor tab, the involved tab, the more tab. It got a card, it got a shopping cart. You can donate to the organization. If you scroll to the bottom of the page, you'll see that it says a seal of transparency, gold star, and PAX Inc. getting it in. And once again, you can learn more about them by visiting www.pactsinc.org, because PAX Inc. is designed for you. Already, Pat.
Hey, I got a question.
Raise your hand.
It is raised.
There it is. Go ahead. Speak, my son.
Hey, man. Question. Uh-huh. So, on The Fix, you are they mama's boyfriend.
Right.
Are you still they mama's boyfriend on this show?
I'm always somebody's mother's boyfriend.
Okay.
You feel me? Or you don't?
Well, what if the girl you dating ain't got no kids?
Well, guess what? We're going to have to fix that then, now.
Shoot the club up.
She's going to have to adopt. Adopt for about 6 months. I stopped my whole no. Hey, man, we talking about sex today. We ain't going to hold it back. We're going to jump right in. We talking about sex today, right? And yeah. It was my idea. It was. I ain't going to lie. So what? So since we talk about sex, we invited Monique from the Tea Time Black Women Talk Show. What up, Mo?
Yes, I'm glad to be here.
You is.
I is.
That is. So, you know what I'm saying? We wanted to have Mo here so we could have a little feminine energy as we talk about the subject of sex. And I want to start here. Now, well, before I get into what made me want to talk about this topic, we do want to kind of cover ideas of sex, ideas that surround sex, why sex is taboo, especially depending on where you are in the world, why people aren't having sex, why people not getting sex, why people not having good sex, kind of things like that, you know. And if you got tips, giving people some tips on things that they can do to kind of make atmospheres or encounters or stuff like that better, and confidence and self-esteem, how all that ties into sex, and especially, you know, promoting safe sex. So it's kind of where we want to center our conversations around. That's cool with y'all?
I'm down like four flat tires.
Let's talk about you and me. I don't think that's the beat to that song.
Man, don't. Boy, look at here.
I'm just saying, I don't think that's the beat to that song.
Yeah, you should hold the road. It's supposed to roll.
It sounded good, though.
Thank you, Mo.
I got a disclaimer.
What's that?
Before we get started. So the disclaimer is we only got a small amount of time to talk to our audience and bring them ideas that we have from the three of our points of view that's on here today. And we got to be diligent about getting out that message that this is something that we need to talk about more often in our small groups, that it's just a show and we're going to throw out ideals today, but we want the discussion to continue so that the healthy discussion part of it to continue so that people are being just more aware. knocking down some of those things that are taboo to talk about. Talk about it. Let's talk about it.
Most definitely. And sex is at the forefront of that list, as we did the show on HIV, AIDS. And I know the Teton ladies have a show on HIV and AIDS. They're going to drop STDs and sexual awareness and whatnot.
Yeah.
And sex is this one of those subjects. It bothers me that we're afraid to talk about sex. We're afraid to talk to our children about sex. I remember me and my wife come from completely different families, completely different ways of talking about sex. My family is very liberal in their sexual discussions, so sex was a regular part of our conversation. Her family, they just didn't talk about sex. So when we got married, you know, that was something that we didn't talk about, was when to introduce sex to our kids. So, like, my youngest son started talking about sex to him when he was, like, 6, 7, maybe 8 years old. She's like, what are you doing? Oh, my God. And so, you know, that really more so than anything else was kind of an eye-opener for me, that people really don't talk about sex. Like, they're really uncomfortable with it. Like, I don't – why is that?
Man.
That's an excellent question.
I think culture got a lot to do with why people don't talk about sex, because sex has been deemed as nasty, especially if you come from a religious background. It's like sex is either nasty or it's of the devil. Sex is one of the things that bad people do, or it'll make you bad and all those things. Everybody keep talking bad about sex, but everybody having sex. And so to me, it's just
right.
Like the culture that we exist in is depending on the culture that you came up in, especially if you from those supposed extra religious or extra secular, or not secular, but extra strict or godly backgrounds or holy backgrounds, and sex is this and sex is that. But it's like they act like if you're having sex, then it's not a sacred thing to do, or like you a whore and all those things. So people don't want to be labeled, and people don't want to feel bad about having sex, or people don't talk about it. They just do it. And a lot of times, a lot of stuff can go wrong. So, you know, to me, that's why. What about you?
It has went wrong. We have a whole, group or mass of people that will proclaim. The first thing they'll proclaim is just, I don't know. And that's not okay. That's, kind of leaving a, we know that as human beings, we're going to couple, and we know that in that coupling, that's when we're at our most vulnerable, emotionally, financially, if you ask some people, physically, depending on who you talk about, we're at our most vulnerable when we are coupling. So if we're not talking about it, then we're leaving, a group of individuals out there, mainly younger individuals, unarmed, basically.
Yeah, true. Now, let me say this before we get deep into it. Like I was saying earlier, one of the reasons that led me to talking about this is, or want to talk about this subject.
Because you ain't getting nine? Ooh. I'm sorry.
Shut up. I'm going to drop this track on you. Got a voodoo doll made just for you.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
But anyway, I'm scrolling through YouTube, and the V103 radio station out of Atlanta, it has a segment called Situations or something like that. I forgot the lady's name who hosts that segment. But it was they had a lady in the studio who had called in, who when she called in, she was talking about how she ended up having sex with this dude who had a little wee-wee. And it was so animated and so, I guess, engaging, and had a lot of people tuning in, that they brought the lady in studio. So basically, she liked the dude. Everything was cool with the dude. He was a perfect gentleman. She was really digging the dude. They ended up going on a trip in Vegas. Like, mind you, like, he footing the bill, all these things. Like, she like, he the perfect dude. She liked everything about dude. So it get time for them to have sex. She was like, dude pulled his clothes off and hit the Superman pose. She was like, his his meat was little, and he wasn't talking about nothing. And then when they went to have sex, he wasn't hitting on that neither. And so I thought she was an asshole for going on the radio and talking about it. I didn't think she was an asshole for not wanting to be with dude. A lot of people trying to tell her she was wrong for not wanting to be with. And this, I talked about this. This was some of my off-topic stuff on my Fix show. But I didn't think she was wrong for not wanting to be with the dude or nothing like that, because sex is important in a relationship. And that part there that people don't talk about, how important sex is in a relationship. So it's like people need to know what to do when they confront it in situations where it may or may not work out or whatever, or it's what you bring to the table, it's all you got, whatever. But it all lead to bad sex, people having bad sex, people either not having sex or people having bad sex. And I wanted to get y'all opinions on why y'all think, first, why y'all think people not having sex? Like, I want to start with you, Pat. Why people not having sex?
Are they not having sex? You talking about married people only, or?
Well, not. Nah. And that perception right there, like married people not having sex. But if you're a person, if somebody is not getting that, like other than they chose not to go after that. There's some people who practice celibacy, abstinence, or whatever. But if you out here trying to get some and you ain't getting none, like, why do you think people not getting none?
I think there are a bunch of different reasons. I mean, it could be your approach. Maybe your approach is off. It could be the environment that you're looking for it in. Maybe that's not the appropriate environment or the right environment for your personality and your approach. I mean, when you get into why people aren't having sex, that's a big discussion. Now, we want to talk about why they're not having good sex. That's a more narrow discussion. But
we want to get to that, too. We don't know why they're not having
I don't know
sex.
If I could list out all of the reasons why people aren't having sex.
You ain't got to go all up.
I do think a big issue right now is social skills, interpersonal skills. I do think people don't know how to communicate with each other very well, and that skill set is being further destroyed by social media and texting and all of this digital communication. So I think interpersonal skills is a skill set that's beginning to vanish. I also think reading people, emotional IQ, that's beginning to vanish. I also think there's an increased level of anxiety when people do meet nowadays, because you don't really have to physically interact with each other the way you used to back in the day. So now when you do physically interact, there seems to be a lot more pressure there. That's just what I get when I talk to some young people. So I think all of those play a role in addition to situations, personalities, blah, blah, blah. But I say the biggest thing is just for me and from my perspective, as just a lack of communication skills and a lack of interpersonal skills.
Cool. What you think?
Okay.
What's your opinion?
Well, if I had to root cause it, and from the root cause, I mean just to think down to the simplest, most one, picking the one basic branch that we could say this leads to all other branches, I would say that it's the conditioning that we have been allowed to have in regard to sex being just a physical act. Because it's viewed as just a physical act between two individuals, three individuals, I don't know how y'all like to do it, <it's>, we miss those components that Pat spoke about, which are all which are all what I consider to be, I don't have the right lingo to use right now, but they're not the root cause of it. I think the root cause is how we've been conditioned to view sex as just a physical act.
I'd agree with that.
Yeah. Yeah, but I think it's also a combination of both what both of you are talking about, not being able to communicate or even interact with people on a competent level, not really getting past the physicality of sex. People,
right.
Sex is seen as Like I tell people all the time. Huh?
Doesn't that make for just okay? Doesn't that make for the awkward situations? If it's just if I'm an awkward person physically, like let's say I'm a little clumsy, doesn't that make it awkward for me to approach somebody in that manner because I'm clumsy? But because I'm not thinking of sex more on an emotional or mental level, I got to level up in order to do this, or I got to put this in, put this out there. Then I'm not gonna be my most confident.
Well, okay. Well, all right. So we being honest, right?
Okay. Yeah.
Let's well, do it. That's what we do, right? All right. So
yep. I'll be frank.
If I'm a dude, if I'm not speaking as me right now. I'm speaking as me, like as a high school, as a college student, as a dude who just really on another mindset, right? If you a woman and you that clumsy person, but you kind of fuckable, you ain't really got to be approachable.
Wait.
Okay, so what's fuckable though? Yeah, you gotta.
We've all met that one dude who will find something about a woman and be like, you know what? She kind of cute. Like I'm outside the other day in my neighborhood, and this butt ugly white woman walked by, and this one dude was like, man, you know, she kind of sexy. And everybody looking around at each other like, who the hell is he talking about? And like, dude, really trying to explain why this lady's sexy. Like, this lady butt ugly, but they trying to explain. Dude trying to explain why she's sexy. So I've always met that one dude who will find something about something and hold on to that and be like, yeah, I smashed though. You know, so I smashed because this and that. So you know, you got that dude is out there. So y'all got quiet on me like I'm lying.
I'm trying to see how women don't do the same thing. We do the same thing.
Saying y'all don't. I ain't saying y'all don't. Okay. I'm just speaking from my side because, you know, I can't speak for y'all, so I'm just speaking from our side. So.
Yeah, but I'm like, but that to me, that's not, like, I'm still trying to figure out what's fuckable. I mean, I guess you're saying every dude has their own personal taste.
Right.
So I get that component, but I don't know. I feel what Mo said earlier and what you were saying about the physicality of the act, and I do think there's a mentality going on now, not now, but it's been around for decades, the mentality of being sexy and sexy being related to sex. And, you know, if you're not viewed as sexy, then, you know, it could, if, especially if you don't view yourself as sexy, then you will find yourself in those awkward situations where you're not thinking about the other types of connections that are available through sex and getting comfortable in those realms. And so all of that makes sense, but I'm still trying to figure out, like, I don't know, like, what is there a general, like, fuckable, like, is there a general fuckability scale, like,
I mean, it's going to be different from dude to dude, from group to group. I mean, some people like what they like. I mean, I don't want to throw out no generalities because I might be wrong, but it's just like I know from the number of dudes I've encountered in my life, some dudes are like, you'll be looking at him like, what did you see? And like, his pupils been dilated fully. So he ready, and you looking at him like, okay, my brother, whatever, I support you, but okay, I'm not with you, but I support you. So, you know, I mean, I don't think you want to think too deep about the fuckability scale. It's just know it's out there.
It's different. It's going to be different, you know, and then there's also other things that are going to play a role into it. The sun, you know, the sun, the moon, the, you know, the stars, all that kind of, you know.
I mean, because approachability is different for different people. Like, what may be attracted to a woman may not make you attracted to that woman. So it's like, it's just like approachability. It's like, and, you know, my confidence got to do with it too. Like, do I feel like I'm confident enough to holler at you, you know?
That's right.
I mean, you ain't going to catch no
feeling. which is that mental component that I would talk about that people forget about. We just think about that we rush in and we think about the physical act, but before we even get there, we have to build up some type of mental fortitude to be able to do certain things. I think it when we root cause it, then it comes to all the things that, and if we say, okay, everybody has been conditioned to think about sex just as a physical act, then we start going into some of the things that Pat and you have already talked about. It leads us to those, you know, that mental spot that can either block you or send out messages to say, I'm not fuckable. Because just like somebody can look at somebody and say, they're not fuckable, that person is sending out signals to say, I'm not fuckable.
Yeah, there they are. If that's what they think, that's the signals that they're sending out. People picking that up. Or either people are picking that up and not necessarily messing with you, or the wrong person can pick up those signals and try to prey on you because they
exactly.
See the lack of self-esteem. So, and that's another thing in that scale that you're talking about. It's like, yeah, you may not think you're approachable. You may not think that, but that don't mean somebody might not approach you.
And that's true, too. But then how does that lead us to why people are not? You know, so we're not engaging. We're not.
Well, I mean,
I think we are engaging. I just think we're not having
I mean, that's just, you know, down to the basics. If you ain't fishing, you ain't going to eat.
That's yes, Lord.
You know.
Say it again.
I mean, you know, if you don't go out there on that and you don't throw that pole out there, you ain't going to get no damn fish. And that especially, like, for men, it's like, you know, there are some dudes who ain't got to put in as much work as other dudes. But some dudes, hey, man, if you ain't opening up your mouth, you ain't going to get none. Closed mouth don't get fed. Like, you can't just wake up in the morning, just walk around and just think people just going to just be attracted to you like you one of them lamps that kill the mosquitoes or something like that. Like, some people might got it like that. Some people don't, you know. Might got to put in a little work.
Put in the work. That's what that's the other thing. That's the other component.
I mean, you know. What you think, Pat?
I mean, I agree. I do think there is a – but I think that goes all the way back to the awkwardness, the – you know, like, I feel like we're talking in circles kind of because, you know, what we mentioned before – leads into this, which reaffirms what we mentioned before. So, you know, you do have to put in work. Some people do have to put in more work than others. And if we're being honest, some people don't have to put in work at all. They just, you know, they just get it thrown at them, you know, and that's a real thing as well. So, I don't know. I mean, like I said, people are having sex. And honestly, if you're not having sex, I do kind of view that as a personal problem that you need to get worked out for yourself. You got to figure it's something about, you know, it's something about Mary, you know, it's something about you, you know, it's not me, it's you. So to that, you know, that's kind of a component of the conversation. I'm just kind of whatever about, I think a bigger topic.
Pat don't care about y'all. Ain't gonna help.
No, because if we're being honest, most people that want to fuck are fucking. Most people. Now, we're not talking
True.
About those
True.
Men. Those men out there who done gone crazy, and I'm not even going to speak the name of their movement because I don't want to give it no credibility, but we're not talking about them. Most people, though, that want to have sex are having sex. They might not be having it as much as they want, but they are having it. So for me, the bigger issue becomes, why are so many people having bad sex? Like, even with what you were talking about with the old lady, with, I shouldn't say old lady, I'm thinking about southern terms, old girl, old lady, old head, whatever. It's not disrespect. I don't know how old she is. She could be 20. Anyways, like, going back to that story you told, if I'm in that relationship, and this is another thing we got to be real about, what we'll get to that later. But going back to that story, A, if he was a perfect dude and him having a little dick ruined it for you, like, I understand nobody can help the biology they were born with, but why weren't you able to teach him how to get you off? Why weren't you able to instruct him on what he can do with the tools he has to pleasure you. Like, everybody's dick is bigger than their tongue. And damn near every dude can make, with some practice and some instruction, can get a woman off with oral sex. So, even if his dick isn't doing the job, he's still got a face, he's still got hands, he's still got toes, if you like that sort of thing. Like, why is the fallback just to be like, you know what, fuck you, you can't fuck, get the fuck out of my life, and then I'm going to go on the radio and talk shit about you. Like, why isn't it, well, everything is good, he got a little dick, but you don't need a big dick to satisfy me in all the ways that I want to be satisfied, so let's figure this out. Like, why isn't that discussion happening? And I know I just switched us into a whole nother way.
Well, I mean, they didn't bring her on the radio to have that discussion. Let's just be real. Like, that wasn't going to push no knee. They brought her on as a clown. Like, let's just, you know. But it's like, I know my thing with that was you didn't really have to go on that clown. But just the mere fact that you can have that experience. And like you say, like, if you know what you're doing, you know what I'm saying, you can kind of manipulate certain things. I mean, you might find yourself in a couple of situations where you like, man, you know what, because the other person just ain't good. But for the most part, I mean, you should know yourself and know how to do what you need to do for you. But, I mean, to me, people having bad sex because people don't know how to have sex. And, you know, we've said that plenty of times. Like, people really just don't know how to have sex. They out here think they know what they're doing, but they really don't know what they're doing. And, you know, you think because you've had a number of sex partners that you're good, but that don't mean you're good. Like, you got a lot of disappointed people. And a lot of people not paying attention to what's going on in front of them, like, when they're having sex. Like, you're not paying attention to the person you're having sex with. First of all, you need to figure out if you're an external masturbation piece or not. If y'all just having sex with each other just to get off, or y'all having sex with each other because y'all actually like each other and y'all want to, you know, enhance the relationship with a good sexual relationship. Because if you just having sex just to get off, then, I mean, good luck. So, you know, what's y'all thoughts on that?
I'm definitely in agreement with that. We like I said, it's a thought process that you need to work a little bit at. You know, which goes to, I'm with Pat now, we're talking in circles in terms of that social communication, that kind of thing. But I got to hit on that lady that, I got to admit, I thought the same thing, even though I feel like it can't be a discussion. I still agree with Pat on, well, why didn't you have the wherewithal, or why are we talking about why you didn't have the wherewithal to complete that or make it complete where he was lacking at? And that speaks to a lack of having something sexually too, because I can probably guarantee you she probably the type of woman 9 times out of 10 that just lay there. Well, no, you know, whether it wouldn't matter if he had, you know, 7 to 9 inches, it still wouldn't be good because you don't know what to do. So, you know, in that respect, but again, there's a reason why I think that it doesn't need to be talked about, because it needs to be socialized or conditioned. We need to get ourselves away from the physical component of it and over to all those things that will make it good, because to be honest with you, it's how a person carries themselves at a certain time that will make me look at them in the terms of they are fuckable. I'm always thinking about sex, but if I look at an individual and I'm attracted to them in that way, it's because it's a certain time and they are putting off a certain energy. It has nothing to do with that physical aspect of just wanting to go out there and fuck. And I think that's the biggest difference between men and women.
I mean, I agree.
I would say that men are probably similar. I do think women are, there are a lot more components. There are a lot more things that go into a woman's sex drive and being turned on than a man. And they actually have a math equation.
Yeah.
That bears that out. A sex mathematician did all of the numbers and boiled it all down to this is the equation for the male sex drive, and it's basically just one line of equation. And then the female equation was like, you know, it was a lot bigger. We'll just say that. So,
okay.
I do agree with that. But I'm just troubled. You know, like, I agree with Mo, and we keep saying it over and over and over again, the socialization aspect is real. Because, Joe, you and I talk about this all the time. You still got women out there who think that they don't have no responsibilities in bed. Like, their job is to lay there. That, like, that's what their job is, to lay there and be wet. And you got women running around saying, you know, I'm good in bed because I get wet. And it's like, nah, that's what it's supposed to do.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that don't make you good in bed because you get wet. That makes you functional. You know, so I don't – and then even nowadays, we got all of these other lubrications and other – like, you don't even have to get wet no more. Like, so I just don't understand – and I do understand, but I think that's another area of the socialization that needs to happen is, you know, everybody comes into the sexual arena with responsibilities. You know, and one of those responsibilities is to know yourself, know your body, know what needs to happen in order for you to get off so that you can, if necessary, if the other person ain't doing it right, if they keep getting in the way and blocking your blessing, you can instruct them on how to get the hell out of the way or how to help lift you up. And that's a social conversation. That's a socialization. That's a culture shift that extends even outside of the bedroom. Because now you begin to talk about group economics. You begin to talk about cultural changes and that sort of mindset manifesting itself in other areas of our society beyond just the bedroom. So, wait, I just left the topic again.
You going too deep. We ain't going that deep. We talking about in the bed. How we have good sex. Past that. Out of all of you said, how you have good sex? How you do that?
I think it starts with masturbation. Honestly.
Elaborate.
I would agree. Masturbation.
Well, masturbation is the practice field, and you don't get to be good unless you practice. You got to figure out, and masturbation shouldn't just be about getting off, especially for all you younger whippersnappers that are training yourself to just get off. Masturbation at some point, I'm not saying every session, but at some point has to be about exploration. What do I like? What do I not like? And if we get real deep and real nasty, dudes, every now and then when you beating off, work at different angles. Bend your dick down. Lift your dick up. Twist it to the side. Do different things and figure out how different things feel. Because that way when you get in the bedroom and things just ain't working right, you know that, okay, so I'm hitting it from the back, and it ain't exactly going the way I planned because I'm, you know, it's not feeling right, or I'm hitting on something, or whatever the case might be. I know that if I lift up a little bit, maybe get just a little bit more height, and get a different angle downward on my, and I'm just using a hypothetical. If I get a different angle downward on my insertion, then I get a different feeling on my penis, and so that feeling feels better than the feeling I was getting, and I know through exploration that I can use this feeling to get off if I need to get off, and even if I don't want to get off, I'm still having a pleasurable experience. Even if she's on top and she's working it, using the same example of knowing that if I bend it back a little bit, it works better. If I tell her to lift up and lean back a little bit, now I get that exact same situation. And now she's able to help me. I'm able to get what I need. And so it starts with experience. It starts with exploration. It starts with masturbation. The same with a woman. She figures out that, hey, when I rub this like this, or when I insert this like this, or when I do this like this, that really works for me. So now if you in the bed with a little dick dude that ain't hitting on nothing, you can tell him, you know what? if you, you know, you can move him, you can instruct him. Different dudes like different things. When I'm fucking, I want you to just tell me. But it's other dudes that don't want to be told. They want to feel like they the shit. So maybe you got to maneuver yourself, or maybe you just move him with your hands, or whatever you got to do. But now you know where to put him to get what you need to get out of the situation. So that's why, you know, when I'm saying, I think it starts with masturbation, and we can't even get to that point because motherfuckers is telling kids that masturbation is the
masturbation
devil.
Masturbation is evil. Yes,
yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So now you got a kid, he don't know how to pleasure himself. He ain't worried about pleasuring your ass. Because I'll be honest, first time most dudes have sex, well, damn near every time most dudes have sex until they've been taught otherwise, they worry about getting the fuck off. That's why they'll nut in 20 seconds, roll over, and not give a damn about what just happened to you.
Right.
Agreed.
I mean, but to me, like you say, that goes into the you educating yourself about sex. You got to want to be good, for first of all. You got to, that's something weird. You have to enjoy pleasing other people. And I think that's where it really starts. A lot of people don't have the desire or they don't get pleasure from pleasing other people. To me, that's kind of where it starts. You got to want to be good. You got to want to be like, all right, I'm finna give you the business when you get here. To me, you got to have that mindset. And then, got to be willing to listen to your partner, what they like, what they don't like, because you can't come in the same move on everybody. No, you can. You might have your lane that you in. You can stay in your lane, but you got to be flexible. You got to be open-minded. You have to be willing to learn new things, to explore new things. Stay within your comfort zone. Don't do nothing that you don't feel comfortable doing. But at the same time, you've had that mindset of I want to make sure I please my partner. On top of what Pat was saying, by knowing yourself, understanding what gets you off. So if you already understand that, you should be able to put the time into learning your partner and listen to your partner. Have a conversation with your partner about sex, in my opinion. Like, don't have a conversation with your homeboys about what girls like and then go home and try that on your girl and she looking at you like you crazy. Like, have a conversation with her. Like, if you had that conversation with your homeboys, I had a conversation with her first before you tried to try that on her. Like, hey, man, you know, if we're talking about doing this, how you feel about that? She might be like, oh, hell nah. Or like, oh, hell yeah. So, I mean, you have to be able to talk and be willing to, you know, take it there with your partner. Like, look them in the eyes and tell them, I'm about to touch your damn soul and go ahead and give it to them, you know, and pay attention to body rhythms and breathing patterns and all those things there, so. You know, what about you, bro?
I don't even want to go in and regurgitate what you said, but all that's right. So, you know, I would just end up saying it a different way, but that's all right there. Put in the time.
Yeah, put your headband around your head, get you some shoes with some grip, and get you a good foot plant position and go to work. You tell me, you'd be in there.
If anything I could add to it is a couple of tidbits. You know, number one, and I guess mine will be from the woman's point of view. So a couple of tidbits here is, one, play dodgeball. And I don't care what people saying, the psychiatrists or the psychologists have said about dodgeball being bad. If you want to learn about the socialization of having, how to get to that point of having sex, dodgeball is the best game that you can play. Number two.
Hold on. Break that down.
You need me to break that down? Okay.
Yeah.
So, just like any other thing, you're talking about
actually playing the sport of dodgeball.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, with a ball and bam, and you know, it hits somebody smack, bam, in the head that, you know, wasn't paying attention or was paying attention, or, you know what I'm saying, you at the end of the dodgeball game, you see you got the two best people left. That is in itself the perfect analogy for having sex in life and what your sex life is going to be like.
Okay.
Yeah, I know. It's good.
So if you're good at dodgeball, you're going to be good at sex, what you're saying?
You're not necessarily going to be good, but for the processes and the components that it takes to stand in there and play that dodgeball game. Wherever you end up, that's where your sex life probably is at that point. And you get the physical exertion while you at it. If you get better at it, then more than likely you're going to get better at the socialization, the sex, the physical part of sex, everything. You will get better at it. But dodgeball is the perfect socialization skill and sport to play in order to get better at it.
So
yeah,
that's,
I never
that's
heard it. Dodgeball. I heard dancing.
Yeah. I don't like a dancing man. So, you know, I guess that maybe that do work for some people.
So take your part on to play dodgeball the first game. I mean, the first time y'all meet, y'all going to play dodgeball.
Man, go join a dodgeball league. Do something. But, yeah, play some dodgeball. Yeah. It should be incorporated. You know, the way that people are thinking about it now is that it's not incorporated in our lives. So it's, you know, but we're missing that. And people don't kind of understand what it takes to bring certain skills about in different areas of our lives. You need to be able to do those type of abstract things in order to get your brain to work that to the point where I have to work at something. You know what I'm saying? And it's okay to see where I fall at in this area is where I'm probably going to fall in other areas of my life. And dodgeball got that perfect, you know what I'm saying? I'm out here. I got to do this. You know what I'm saying? It's a mixed play. It's, you know, men and women can play dodgeball at the same time. And I got to be out here. And I got to do something in order to come out on top. And that's what, if I'm not mistaken, that's the same thing that we want when we're having sex, is to come out on top.
So have you tried this dodgeball theory?
I play dodgeball all the time.
You play metaphorical dodgeball or you play real dodgeball?
Real dodgeball.
Joe thinking about dodging balls.
Hey, we talking about sex. I'm just trying to make sure that you ain't speaking in code or something like that. Like
no,
you're being
I'm
literal.
Not, I'm talking about the physical sport of
the
playing
physical
dodgeball.
Sport,
okay. Yeah.
So you take your date and you bust him in the head with a dodgeball, and if you keep hitting his ass and knocking him out with a dodgeball, then he trashes
the head
and you ain't going to call him back.
We probably not on the same level. I'm just say that. I don't think he trashed. I think he's somebody out there at his same dodgeball level. But
so what about fishing instead of dodgeball? What if we go fishing?
Well, I'm just saying, what's the socialization skills you got to have when fishing except for be quiet?
I'm trying to figure out what you got to do with dodgeball. I don't know. I ain't never equated sex with dodgeball. I mean, I'm still trying to get down. I'm sorry. Like, and I know dodgeball. Like, I'm sorry. You know, I'm the dude on dodgeball court that's hitting people in the head with the ball. So, you know, I'm face shot.
And knocking out the competition. And isn't that the same thing that we do when we go in a club or we go into any other type of social interaction where there's an expectation of coupling or getting together with somebody? Don't we knock competitors? Women do it, I know. We knock other competitors off the court. We do it all.
So if I'm a linebacker.
Mm-hmm.
And I get 20 tackles in the football game, that's because I'm good in the bed.
Wait a minute.
I'm trying to say I just apply in different areas of life. I'm just using different sports. I'm sorry. Don't mind.
You're aggressive.
Yeah.
Go tackle that.
Oh, man.
And there's
girl,
a lot to be said for aggression, though, because I was reading this book by this white lady called Just Fuck Me.
Okay.
And it was an instructional guide for men on how to understand the sexuality of women. And she didn't use most dodgeball analogy, but she did talk a lot about aggression. She talked a lot about being dominant. She talked a lot about alpha male mentality. She talked a lot about some of the same things that I can see when I'm listening to Mo talk about dodgeball. Now, I don't know if it lines up exactly, but when Mo was going through that, it made me think about that book. because, you know, obviously, as the name of the book implies, she was like most men think that women want to, you know, women want to have, make love and have romantic, passionate sex all the time, and that's cool, but sometimes, you know, just want you to come in there and be the hero, work for the other team, and
grab
smash
by
the brakes out.
Absolutely.
But that go back to you knowing your partner, knowing the person that you having sex with, y'all communicating. Like,
that also
how you
go back to the mood she in when you do it, because she could love you to death. If you're in the wrong mood, that's a Me Too movement waiting to happen. I'm sorry, man. Y'all women got to give up on some of these fantasies in the age of Me Too.
Yeah, the Me Too movement, it messed a lot up. Like what we was talking about earlier about sending signals and people being able to tell if you throwing something at me. Like, in this Me Too age, you know, you may be very well throwing them signals at me, but I'm not receiving them signals the same way I would have like 10 years ago, because you ain't catching me up in nothing.
Yeah, I need you to sign a paper.
Right, I need you to be like verbal, like, hey, I would like to have sexual relations with you, sir, and say my name.
Sign it at the bottom line.
You know what I'm saying? I
think there's a few things that we can do within the community, especially this. You know, I know this is a very broad subject, and we haven't hardly talked about some of the gender differences and some of the community differences. But, you know, if I was being honest about the subject matter, I would say it matters to me how we couple up in the in our certain communities, so that we can avoid some of this, what I call the impact of, you know, the dominant society. Yeah, basically.
I got
basically
you.
Socialization socializing a kid in a protected environment or a protected community without all of the other factors would greatly reduce some of these things as well. It's because I don't want it to boil down to just being about fantasies either. It is all we moving less and less away from our spiritual connectivity and more into, like you said, signing at the dotted line or making sure this is what both parties want. That's, you know, that'll take everything out of it for me if I can't do the vibrations where we vibrating at the same frequency, and it took us a minute to get to that frequency, or not take a minute, because I'm impatient too. You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like if somebody not getting the message, all right, bye. You know, but, you know, there are certain things I think we can do within our own communities to embrace certain cultures or change certain cultures that would make it safer and easier for us, and that includes protecting the affected communities or affected population that are easily targeted by progressive ideals or mindsets like Me Too. There's a dangerous part of that. We need to address those things, and we need to protect the members of our community, black men, black boys, and so forth, black women, black girls.
I can dig it.
Yeah, but, you know, just like on that level of a man when he's interacting with a woman, or a woman interacting with a man, and people understanding that this union could lead to something else. So we might want to be healthy, in a healthy mental state, in a healthy physical state, in a healthy financial state, going back to not being oversexed, understanding that if you have sex without a condom, then you could probably make a baby, especially if somebody don't pull out. You know, because I meet a lot of people, and the reason why I say that, I meet a lot of people who seem not to understand that unprotected sex could lead to babies. You know, I don't think a lot of people understand that sperm get people pregnant. Like, the orgasm when the dude ejaculates inside, you're going to get pregnant. Because, like, well, I wasn't trying to get her pregnant, but did you use a condom? No. Did you pull out? No. So what part of that was you not trying to get her pregnant?
That's basic.
I mean, but you can't. But some people out here having sex with these idiots, though.
Yeah.
Well, it seems like you, because And this is one of the things that we talked about earlier with regards to one of my family members, you know, is when you get, because one, you got to understand the rules of engagement. You got to understand the game. And this is for all you young ladies out there. It's a pretty good chance he not pulling out.
Yeah.
And even
to.
If he do pull out, it's a pretty good chance he not pulling out in time. Meaning you catching that first push. So, you know, like being aware of that, I've known dudes I'm that are nut inside, keep fucking until they get ready to catch another one and then pull out for that one. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, you thinking that he just got amazing stamina because y'all been fucking for 3 hours straight. And really, he been nutting all up in you. And then when he ready to stop, he'll just pull out and put that one on your back or your butt or your stomach and then say, I'm done. So, you know, understanding the rules of engagement, understanding the rules of the game, you know, understanding that in another vein, not if you lose your virginity and you didn't have protected sex the first time you had sex, chances are, you're not going to have protected sex, period.
That's not even having that discussion with people so that they understand
that, look, I understand you want to have sex, but please just make sure you wrap it up. Don't let nobody convince you that it's okay. Don't let nobody. And I say that to speaking to the girls because most times it's the dudes out here trying to convince a girl to let them slide up inside of them without a condom on. And in a lot of cases, you have a lot of females acquiescing to that. I know low self-esteem. I'm 100% with you. But, you know, we got to do something to counteract that. We got to do something to get these knucklehead dudes to understand that, you know, babies do come from sperm. You know, that's
right.
Real. Because I really think it's the dudes that seem to be failing to grasp that concept. That, you know, that white stuff that shoot out of you when you playing with yourself.
That can create a baby.
Yeah, that's baby juice.
That's baby, yeah.
That was a
Don't shoot that inside of nobody unless you want a potential baby.
Right. But, I mean, it's like it's going back to, okay, like not just having sex with such and such because they look good or because you like the size of their anatomy or whatever all these things is, just like really understanding, like, if I'm finna get inside you or let you up inside of me, then I might want to know you better than it needs to be past I think I know, because I see a lot of stuff that go wrong, especially when sex happens, because good sex complicate unhealthy relationships. It make it worse. Because now you're not thinking straight. And that's the thing. You know, we want people to be having good sex, but we want people to be having good sex and healthy relationships. Because, yeah, dude could be ringing your bell or she giving you the best that she got, but y'all don't really like each other like that. Y'all just like having sex with each other. And now you got issues, but you hate being around you. The relationship is just horrible, but the sex is amazing. So, you know, you're even using sex to kind of be an ignition or you're using arguments to be an ignition for the sex that you're going to have, to kind of have the angry sex and all these things here. And, you know, that's it's time out for that. Those are things that we don't need to be doing no more. But it's just like, I think people need to really understand sex a little better before they jump into it, before they just call themselves just going out and giving everybody their body. Like, really understand what sex is, why sex exists. And you ain't the only one that's having sex. Like, you're not cool because you're having sex. Like, we can go to a farm and watch animals have sex. So you ain't cool. I mean, you part of the reproductive tree. Welcome to the club. So, you know, I think people need to be put on the table, too, because people think that they cool because they have sex. So,
I agree. I think to your point, people need to be educated about what happens when you have sex. When you have sex, first off, let's call love what it is. It's a sexual fetish. It's an addiction, not a sexual fetish. It's an addiction. You're addicted to this person. And with that addiction comes a sexual fetish, and that sexual fetish begins to strengthen that addiction. I'm simplifying biochemical hormonal actions that are happening in your body when you have sex. But essentially, that's what's happening. That's why you get to the point where you can't be without somebody that's giving you good dick. You become dependent on them. A woman that's giving you good pussy, good whatever, you know, you can't stop thinking about that person. You know what I'm saying? There have been the studies and the reports and all that that shows that the emotion of love, when people say they're in love, their brain exhibits the same patterns that a crack addict's brain exhibits. And when you show a person a picture of the person they love, they have the exact same response as a crackhead looking at crack. The exact same response. So we have to understand that. And that's why it complicates matter, because you could be in a bad situation but be getting good dick, and you'll overlook the entirety of the situation because that's what your brain is programmed to do. That's what sex is there for. It's there to tie you to an individual for the purpose of child raising, child rearing. That's what it's designed for. That's what it's there for. Now, I know in our modern society, we've kind of gotten away from that. Sex has just become this thing we do to have fun and get an adrenaline rush. But you can't have sex with the same person over and over and over again and not become attached. It's an impossibility. So we got to begin to talk about that.
Right.
We got to begin to talk about the spiritual connection that's happening. I mean, you are literally joining bodies. As a man, you are sticking a piece of your body into another human being. And as a woman, you're allowing another human being to become a part of you. Like, it doesn't get any more sacred than that. I mean, some of y'all won't even eat certain types of food because it looks nasty. And your digestive system is designed to eliminate any sorts of harm to your body and things like that. But you will let a stranger with a dirty dick shove his dirty balls inside of your body?
Hear, hear. Yes.
Like,
exactly.
It don't make sense. It doesn't make sense.
Yes.
And some of you dudes, you know, you don't want to get your hands dirty. You don't want to touch oil and mud and all. You know the pretty boys, they don't want to touch certain things or this, that, or the third. But they'll stick their dick inside of a female that don't look clean. We ain't even talking about is she clean or not. She don't even look clean. So, you know, like there's a reason behind that. That's not even to make people feel some type of way. That's because of the way biologically we're programmed to perceive the act of procreating, the act of having sex, the act, that union. And so we need to have those discussions with our children, in addition to the masturbation discussions, in addition to the discussions about becoming selfless, because sex should be a selfless act. I'm a get-off. I ain't never been in a situation with a woman where I couldn't get off. I know me well enough to get me off. But before I get me off, I want to make sure that she gets off. I want to make sure that she enjoys the experience. And that's halfway selfish as well, because I know that if I give her bad dick, chances are I ain't going to get pussy no more. So it's in my best interest to give her the best dick I can give her so that I can get it some more. So even if you want to think about it from that point, but the point of reference has to be the other person's pleasure to an extent. You still want to get yours. But, you know, I feel like I'm rambling, so I'm going to shut up.
Hey,
Mojo, go ahead.
You got to be good in bed. Put it like that at the end of the day. Don't nobody want no trash sex. Don't be the person out there giving people trash sex. People want good sex. And if your ass ain't trying to have good sex, don't be having sex. Don't be wasting people's goddamn time. Basically, that's what he's saying. He just said it in a technical way. But don't be out here giving people trash sex. You know you ain't good. If you're a lady and you know you're just lay on your back, God damn it, let somebody know that up front. You're a dude and you ain't got no stroke. Damn it, let somebody know that shit up front. Don't be out here lying and leading people 100. On, making them think they're going to have some good sex. You and I'm going to tear it up. I'm going to give you this and I'm going to give you that. And you don't know what you're doing. God damn it, don't be doing that. Anybody trying to waste their damn time.
Keep
stay home for this.
Yeah, if we played dodgeball, it would bring a lot more people back to reality.
I ain't not more. If I go play dodgeball with somebody and they trash, I'm coming back to you. I'm like, Mo, you lied to me. Hey, Mo told me you're going to be good in bed because we played dodgeball. And you ain't good.
They got to win.
There's a recognition, right? There's a recognition of where you're at in your sex life. It's a direct connection to where you're at in your sex life, how you play dodgeball, and and it's a way to measure that without actually having to go out and go through the physical act of having sex, go through all the other downfalls and pitfalls that come along with it. Just play some dodgeball. I can avoid all this altogether.
Then next you're gonna play paintball. And if your ass win paintball and dodgeball and you still ain't good in
sex, I would say paintball is probably another good that would be something that is closely related to dodgeball. If you play paintball, that would be the
second. You talking about your level of commitment to the team. What about kayaking? Because I went kayaking once, and it's a team effort. If your partner ain't wrong,
they got double. It's a kayak. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I was thinking of those other single.
Yeah, you talking about the white water rafts and stuff. But you know, if you're in a two person kayak and your partner ain't paddling right, y'all ain't gonna go nowhere.
Well, I guess one of the things about the dodgeball thing is the socialization that it takes to be out there with everybody. So it's five people on one side, five people on the other, and there's a socialization component that has to be there in order to be successful at dodgeball. And then at the end, you know, who's standing? What are you all, saying, what's going on in terms of how people are related to get down to the last two people?
Yeah, go out there and catch them balls. There you go. Get it. Hey, man, I ain't heard that. First, nice, Mo, you got to tell Pat what you told the ladies about the lips and stuff.
Tell
somebody about the lips. Because Mo be coming up with some new stuff.
So that was actually, I'm glad you got back to that. We brought this right back around to where it needed to be. And this is for the ladies, basically. But this was my second tidbit. For a man, if you want to know what he is like, what his phallus or dick or penis is like before you actually have to see it or it's revealed or it makes its big reveal, you could tell that by his lips, the shape of his lips, the width, the you know, how big, small, thin, that kind of thing. You could tell the upper lip is the if his upper lip is shaped a certain way, then his penis is shaped the same way as the upper lip. And generally, if he has bigger lips, he has girth.
That's some new stuff for y'all. Y'all ain't never heard that before.
I thought people just knew that.
Nah.
I thought people just knew that.
Who taught you that?
I grew up, I think like Pat said, if I'm not mistaken, correct me if I'm wrong, talking about sex with our peers, or not just peers, but maybe a few older people in general, but that in a tight family unit, was something that we did, and it was open. So we could talk about just about anything. And so in that type of socialization, it was I learned a few things.
Grew up very tight. You know, we talked about sex. That's what we did. So.
I mean, I talked about sex in the house. I was talking to myself, but still.
Bro.
My parents ain't talk about that, but I learned it.
My mom, even right now, like if I were to call my mom up right now, and just start talking about sex, like we have some of the wildest, craziest conversations about sex that you will ever hear a mother and son have. And I appreciate the hell out of her for that because, I grew up a little bit more informed about what sex was, than my peers did. I didn't make a lot of the same mistakes that my peers made with regards to sex. Now, there were certain things missing, like, you know, because I grew up in a house with all females, and nobody bothered to tell me how devious females can be. So I got caught up in that regard because I thought all females were on the up and up, straight shooters, blah, blah, blah. So you can see how that would land me in some trouble. But
men lie.
Yeah, well, that's kind of what it was. You know, like, my mom never bashed men. You know, never that. I got all of that from the TV and the music. But, you know, there was definitely in the house, it was very much a pro-female household. So I didn't grow up thinking that women were conniving, women were backstabbing, women were devious, women held grudges. Like, all of that was new for me growing up, coming out of the house. 18 years old, even in high school, 15, 16 years old. Like, damn, women act like this? Yo, my mama would beat her ass if she act like that at my house.
Yeah, it is like, it catch off guard when you realize, like, that women do stuff that you never thought that they would do. It's like, it'll make your whole week bad. Damn, I didn't know women did that.
But that go to the socialization that Mo brought up, because I didn't even know women smoked cigarettes until, like, 16. I was like, women smoke? I saw a lady smoking at the bus stop. Women smoke?
Almost all the women I knew smoked growing up. So I ain't say, well, I ain't say almost all of them, but a good number of women smoked. So I knew women smoked. It just, I ain't know women, like, did, like, crack and stuff till I see my first crackhead. I was like, damn, women do that? Because I knew men crackhead. But, you know.
So I go back to the socialization. Now, I do think it's beneficial to have some of those things, but, you know, with regards to sex, it's a lot missing from the discussion, and the discussion itself is missing from the discussion. Because what's all this birds and bees shit?
Right. Why?
Talk about penis and vagina, dick and pussy.
Exactly.
Horizontal poker.
I don't even understand that discussion. Birds and bees, like, they don't even get along now. Like, why birds and bees? Because they both start with B?
Because people crazy. Oh, well. Hey, man, anybody?
I don't know, actually. I would have to research it. So I would want to get an audience a real live researchable answer to why it's not okay. When you start talking about, you know, you spoke about, Pat, you and your spouse, you know, and how you all were when you decided, hey, this is a good time for me to talk to our kids about, you know, sex. And I know, there needs to be some type of age appropriate, or what I call mature appropriate instead of age appropriate language used. And I wouldn't go so far as to use birds and bees because I just don't think it works nowadays. But I would, you know, depending upon the maturity of a kid, use certain things where they can, you know, it is where they understand that whole sexual experience is not just, you know, human beings. It's the whole thing. We all reproducing. We all procreating.
Yeah.
I can dig that. I mean, honestly, and that's where me and my wife do differ. And we're probably going to differ until forever. But because I honestly don't, I do feel like there's a level of maturity that needs to be achieved before you can have an in-depth conversation. But honestly, I don't know that there's an age limit that's too young to start having the conversation itself, to start talking about sex. I mean, to you know,
I agree.
To me, the earlier you introduce it, the more time you have to convey the lessons about it, the more time you have to shape your children's opinion of it, the more time you have to develop a level of comfortability in them so that they can approach you when they're really interested in it. you know, and all of those things matter, and they matter a lot more than we give them credit for. And we also have to remember, you're only the primary influencer in your child's life until they're like 8 or 9 years old. At that point, your level of influence begins to diminish. And by the time they're 15, 16, you don't have any more influence over your children. Their friends have all the influence.
Mm-hmm.
But that's why you got to, but like I said, set that foundation, though. You got to set that good, safe, solid foundation with your kids. Because I've met kids who will not talk to their parents about sex, and I know kids who will come in there and we'll talk to them like it's this 18-year-old girl that's interning with us now. Like, she's probably not going to have sex no time soon. But if she do, she know what to do because her parents fully educated her. And you've been volunteering in around programs that teach safe sex and teach the materials and things. So it's like, to me, it's just like we were having a conversation the other day. Like, if your child go to preschool or first grade and they can't read, it's your fault. If your child go to college and they have nothing, they don't know nothing about sex, or your child having sex and they don't know about sex, it's your fault as the parent. You're supposed to teach your child about sex and how to protect themselves and how to have sex. So you got to teach that. That has to happen. And sex is important.
If your child is 20 years old and they still nervous about saying penis and vagina, you need to be
failed. Yeah, you failed.
Yeah, you did. You failed. You messed up. You missed something. You definitely missed something. But I don't want to negate. I want to be sure not to negate. As a parent, I totally agree with Pat when he says your level of influence diminishes. Even, Joe, if you're setting the foundation for, open communication, your influence still diminishes greatly as far as your kids are concerned.
Yeah, your influence does diminish, but the foundation is there. So whatever your kid chooses to do from there, that ain't on you. You did your job. All you know is, at the end of the day, you did what you were supposed to do. Now, that come up to the constancy or the follow-through with the child, because you can't make your child do nothing. All you know is you set the foundation. So, hey, I did my job.
Agree. But I think we all, the biggest thing that anyone should get from this this broadcast today is this communication, that open communication, talking about it, not giggling about it, not making certain things taboo, not introducing certain other elements or components in it that would make people hesitant or afraid to talk about it. That's the starting point that we want to start at, and I totally 1,000% agree with Pat. You can't be too young to talk about sex. I don't care. You 2 years old, I'm talking to you. Hey, nah.
I mean, hell, sex, how you got here? If you can't talk about sex, like, why wouldn't you talk about sex? It's a real biological function. It's how you got here. And if your ass want grandparents, grandkids, whatever, you have a parent, you want grandkids, you might want to teach your child to do the shit right. Or if you don't know, like, get them some information, teach them how to do it right. But they need to understand sex, because the way people are having sex is changing. So you need to understand the world around you. You can't be living in no bubble. You can't be trying to just think that whatever goes on in your head is what other people should be doing or is doing. You need to realize that, hey, man, it's real out here, and people don't care about what you're doing. They're going to do what they like to do.
Word. Totally agree. Totally agree. And to take that a step further in terms of that communication, it's okay to, because we're talking about the parent and child component of this, but I didn't necessarily have the parent open communication. I did have it with my dad, didn't necessarily have it with my mom, but it was okay for that extended cousin family. And that might be different nowadays because of how we live and how families are, composed of now in terms of geographical region. But you need that. That's where community is so important, because that whole community that I had was my protection, but it wasn't a bubble. So that communication that I had about certain what we would call sensitive subject matters, or people would call sensitive sexual subjects, I was able to have and be confident in certain things at a very young age, but not confident where I was going to go out and have to or feel pressure to apply it. I didn't actually feel any pressure to apply what I knew.
No, I know, yeah, but see, that comes with competent sexual education or even introducing you to sex. But also, I would still say indirectly, your parents still had to create some type of lane because, you know, if I tell you don't talk to my child about sex, then you ain't going to talk to my child about sex. So still kudos to your parents for allowing somebody that they felt comfortable with and they thought was competent to teach you about that. So.
Correct. Yeah, absolutely. I don't want to take that away. I think it was a family environment that we grew in. I hope that it's not unique. It wasn't unique to that environment, but I do admit, just like you guys talked about, seeing certain things happen for the first time and realizing, oh, you know, this happened or this happens. That was the same. When I saw other people didn't have those same type of socialization sexually and otherwise, it threw me off a little bit. I thought everybody talked to, you know, that they had that whole support system where they could have open discussions about sensitive subject matters.
No, that's why sex is such a taboo, still such a taboo subject in the year 2018.
And that's also why STD rates are rising, teen pregnancies are rising. You know, you name it, if it relates to sex, it's going up. And now you got motherfuckers running the other way. I actually listened to a group of black people the other day on a podcast that I'm not going to name because I didn't see anything beneficial by anybody listening to that. But they were actually trying to say that what we need to do is go back to teaching abstinence and not talking to kids about sex so much because we're over-sexualizing the kids by talking to them about sex so much. And, that's going the wrong... That's completely the wrong direction.
That's irresponsible. We have a responsibility to impart. So if that, under that same premise, let me ask this, under that same premise, then why do we educate in certain studies if knowledge is dangerous? So you telling me that the knowledge of how to have healthy sexual outcomes is dangerous or potentially detrimental to a human being? Then what is the knowledge of why is learning the periodic table not dangerous?
Hey, so basically, in that same mindset, if you teach your child how to drive, well, don't teach your child how to drive because they're just going to get in accidents. Or like you said, don't teach somebody the periodic table because they're going to be a bomb.
You're right.
You know what I'm saying? Don't teach your child how to walk because they're going to fall and bust their head wide open and die.
Right.
You could be here all day saying stuff.
That makes no sense.
Don't teach your child how to take a bath because somebody's going to think they smell good and want to snatch them up and smell them all night.
Not smell them all night.
Right. You're right.
We can get ridiculous with this, but when I hear people say that, like you said, I remind them of how irresponsible and selfish they are because they're trying to make it easy for them because they are not comfortable with the subject. Because
Tell the truth.
Like, you can't, you're not going to fix an oversexed society by ignoring the topic of sex when sex is everywhere. The society is oversexed, fool.
But you got to understand where that line of thinking comes from, and I'm going to expand it just for a moment, then we can bring it back. But we see this same mentality in people when they be like, you know how you solve racism? We just need to stop talking about racism. You see that same mentality there. Mm-hmm. So, you know, what you just said is so accurate. People aren't trying to do what's best for the society as a whole. They're trying to do what's most comfortable for them. I don't want to talk about sex, probably because I feel like I'm not good at it, probably because I'm not getting as much as I want. Yeah, I'm putting that on you because anybody that's having great sex all the time love to talk about sex.
Yeah, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, anything that's going to remind me of any issues I might have personally, any issue that's going to remind me of those things, I don't want to talk about them because they
don't. I don't want to talk about it.
So let's talk about you and how we can help you to have better sex, so that you'll be more comfortable talking about sex.
That's what we need to educate. That's what we need to. That's the audience we talking to.
These adults, hey man, these adults out here messing up.
Mm-hmm.
That's why these kids. I mean, that plays into why these kids are oversexed. Hell, you oversexed. Goddamn adult, you oversexed. What the hell? What society you think you grew up in? You grew up watching the goddamn Disney movie with the underlying and hidden sexual messages. Damn it, you grew up watching Real Sex Diaries just like we did. You grew up watching all these other shits. But, I mean, man, people need to stop lying. Like people act like granddaddy 80 years ago didn't have three families. Granddaddy was raw dogging everybody he can.
Pop over the road and stone.
I mean, what year did that song came out? But yeah, that song came out, what, the 70s?
Yeah.
I mean.
But it might have been the 80s, but go ahead. Yeah, I think it was Temptations. I'm going to say the 80s.
But it's like we've been lied to. We think great-grandma and great-granddaddy wasn't fucking. But you were alive, but great-grandma and great-granddaddy wasn't fucking.
But the bad side of that is that the porn industry ain't going nowhere. Matt, if anything, it's getting bigger. The porn industry is actually leading the technological push into virtual reality for movies and stuff. They got virtual reality pornos now, and they're leading that push. They're at the forefront of that technological development. So if you're not talking to your
kid, industry.
So if you're not talking to your kid about sex or no kids about sex, then they're going to get all the information that they're going to have from sex from pornos.
Mm-hmm.
People that are acting, having unpleasurable sex, but pretending like it's pleasurable.
Fake ass sex. But
and that's
like,
what your kid is going to think he's supposed to do. He's going to think he's supposed to flip this girl's legs behind her head in an uncomfortable position and then ram into her as hard and fast as he can. He's going to think that he's supposed to put his foot on the back of her neck and shove her face down into a pillow while he's, again, ramming into her as hard as he can. And he's going to think he's doing the damn thing, and they'll wonder why ain't nobody calling him back.
Pat, you venting?
Nah, I am venting, because this shit is stupid. Like, I talk to kids, not as much now as I used to, but it hasn't changed much. Most kids get their sexual education from porno.
Yeah.
They do. That's why when a dude first have sex, it's part excitement, part mimicking what he saw in his favorite
porno. Most dudes be extra trash, too. Like, the women be trash, too. But most dudes be extra trash based off of what they learn. Because, they're trying to break the young lady's back out. Like, you trying to
Like, why are you trying to hurt her?
Because that's what you've been taught. You've been taught to impale women with your penis, so.
Damn.
I mean, but for real, because it's like, you got to beat it up. Like, come on, man. Even before you even see a vagina or whatever, or see somebody naked, you listen to the songs, beat it up, 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 beat it up. What you think everybody trying to do? Beat it up. People don't understand that. There are different ways to have sex. Everybody don't like the same thing.
Like, there's a positive, awkward walk after you finish having sex where a woman has just really gotten off and it was great and she woozy. And then there's a negative, awkward walk where you really ain't do shit, but you gave her a bruise. And now she can't walk right because she's hurting. There's two completely different things. You like, man, I'm trying to have that whole man. I'm trying to have that hoe, but she can't even walk the next day. You know what I'm talking about? Why? She got shit to do tomorrow.
You don't really need to do all that if you know how to push the buttons. And that's the main thing of this conversation is, you know, stimulating more people to have conversations about sex with their family members, with their partners, friends, having real, honest, open conversations. Stop taking advice But, like, stop taking sexual advice from people that you know don't know what they're doing, though. Like, for people who sound, if it sounds stupid, don't take sexual advice. Like, you want to learn from people, but you got to know who to learn from.
You can't even say that, though, Joe, because people don't know what sounds stupid. If I ain't never had sex before.
I thought about that. That's why I said that. But it's like, go to educational route. Like, go to clinics. Go to specific clinics. Go to different educational settings. And I'm not saying that those people. Yeah, you call me. You call me, I'll tell you what's up. But I ain't know, do your due diligence in finding somebody who can teach you about sex. And I say that because everybody don't know how to have sex. And just because you may be in the realm that say you're supposed to know how to have sex don't mean you really know how to have sex. And remember, man, and sex, yeah, it's about you, but it's about your partner, too. If you ain't trying to make your partner feel good, you kind of wasting people's time. I'm just saying, you know. I'm just saying. Mo, y'all got any parting shots?
No, I think we summed up everything. Y'all go kick it, play some dodgeball.
Yeah, go play some dodgeball. I'm the next girl I go out with, just know where our first date gonna be. Dodgeball. What you got, Pat?
Power to the people.
Power to the people.
My wife wouldn't be good at dodgeball because she clumsy for real. She fall on her own ball, like trying to throw it. So,
she need to go to dodgeball camp then.
Yeah, she caught back to throw the ball and just literally fall and hit herself in the face with her own ball. So I'm not real sure what to make of the dodgeball thing, but it'll be funny to watch.
There you go. That's what I was thinking. Get you a laugh out of it.
Yeah, I might just videotape it
and send it to me. Yeah.
Both
that's
y'all.
What's up, though, man.
Mo can analyze it and be like, well, Pat.
See, Tammy, this is what you need to do. This is what you need to do because you tripping. Yeah, nah, man, y'all crazy. Hey, man, we want people to be having good sex out here, good, safe, valuable sex that can take you to the next level in your relationship
healthy.
And be able to solidify things because it's good, healthy, clean, sex, sweaty sex, where y'all stomachs be rubbing together, y'all. Yeah, but had that good sex. I almost got lost up in my words, but you know. It's Mr. Nasty time. I'm Joseph Ward. Pat, Mo, thanks for coming by. Talk about sex with us. Hey, man, you know, we like to talk about sex, and we want to make sure our black community thrives off our conversation, so it's in a productive manner. And if you don't like it, I don't know what to tell you, because we like it. So, two fingers in the air like a prayer. I holler.